Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, only say the word, and my servant will be healed. We have those two spectacular examples of faith before us in the gospel today. The prayer of faith on the part of the leper, and again on the part of the centurion. Now, should I stand up here in the pulpit today and tell you to be just like them, to have a faith just like theirs, confident and humble, submissive and content to believe without having to see? I could command you to have that kind of faith, but it would be foolish, because you are not the ones who form your faith. You don't make your faith or mold it into this or that. You don't make your faith more humble, more confident, more submissive, or more faithful. It's God who does that. God takes your faith and creates it and molds it and sustains it. God is the one who takes your faith and makes it into a tested lump of gold. He does it not by telling you what to do or how to be. He does it by showing you who Jesus is, what Jesus is like, what Jesus has done, and what Jesus will do. He does it through his powerful word, the very gospel that we're considering today. Faith does not come by doing, but by hearing. So hear again and listen to what the gospel says to you. The word of God itself establishes the pattern for us. The word creates faith that clings to the word. Our gospel begins with Jesus finishing his Sermon on the Mount and coming down from the Sermon on the Mount, and it's on the way down that leper comes running to him and kneels down at his feet. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. What was it that brought the leper to the feet of Jesus? It wasn't something his own reason came up with. It wasn't some random falling at the feet of anyone in Israel to ask for help. First, it was the knowledge that he needed help. It was the very obvious fact that he was suffering from this terrible skin disease called leprosy, this incurable disease that no one could help with. It was the knowledge that he was sick and needed help. But what brought the sick man to Jesus' feet with this confidence that Jesus could help him when no one else in the world could? No doctor, no healer. He had heard the word about Jesus, that he was kind and good, that he welcomed sinners and all the downtrodden and the downcast, that he taught and healed with the power of God, that he preached a message about a God who both condemned sinners and offered a free way of forgiveness for sinners through faith in Jesus. The leper had heard that word about Jesus, and before he ever saw him, faith was created by the word. And then faith did what faith does. Faith clings to the word. The leper went to Jesus. Faith brought him to Jesus' feet, trusting that Jesus wouldn't be offended or repulsed by his disease, by his sickness, trusting that Jesus would hear his petition And that Jesus could do whatever Jesus wants to do, if he's willing to do it. Lord, if you will, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And then faith waits. It waits for a word from Jesus to which it can cling. Faith doesn't presume to know what Jesus' will is if he hasn't revealed it. Faith doesn't demand things of Jesus. Jesus, I'm here before you and you have to heal me now. It also doesn't offer Jesus anything. Jesus, if you heal me, then I'll... whatever. Faith doesn't look for a sign here or there of what Jesus' will might be. Faith simply waits for a word from Jesus and then clings to that word, and rightly so. In the case of the leper, faith was not disappointed. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. I am willing. I will, Jesus said. Be clean. And just as Jesus' word had already created faith in the heart of the leper, so now Jesus' word created clean skin where only diseased skin had been. His word accomplished everything, including the faith of the leper that brought the leper to Jesus, looking for a word to cling to latch on to. And it's the same for you. Your sin is just as destructive and corruptive to your soul as leprosy is to the body. And you come before God just as unclean as the leper did. How do you know that you're a sinner? Because of the Ten Commandments, which you have not kept and neither have I. But it's the same Jesus, the same kind and good Jesus who welcomes sinners and who promises to help them by making them clean. That is, by forgiving their sin, by taking their sin upon himself and bearing it and making full atonement for the world's sin by pouring out his blood for it. If that word of Jesus has brought you to baptism and faith, if that word about Jesus has brought you to a place where you're in a constant posture of kneeling before Jesus, looking up to him for help every day in every need, then you are right where you need to be. The word creates faith that clings to the word. So the question isn't, when do you find yourself down on your knees begging for Jesus' help? The question is, when don't you? When do you see this pattern broken of the word creating faith that clings to the word? When do you think you can handle it on your own, whatever it may be, from sin to every other problem that's caused by sin in this life? When do you think you're not so unclean after all and don't need this constant cleansing from Jesus? When do you wish to continue living in uncleanness and not have it cleansed by Jesus? That's when faith disappears and you return to sin, to the law, and to death. It's true that your flesh always wants you to return to the sin and to the law and to death. Your flesh never wishes to have you down on your knees looking up to Jesus for help. Your flesh is never satisfied and never willing to submit to whatever Jesus wants, because to submit to whatever Jesus wants means acknowledging Jesus as God and Lord, and a good one at that. And your flesh will never do that, nor will the devil. But even as your flesh rebels against the will of Jesus, Faith on the other side holds on to it. It may hold on very feebly at times. It may hold on in tears and through great sorrow and pain and fighting constantly against doubt as the cross presses hard. And the world around you asks, where is your God? And yet faith simply holds on even under the cross, especially under the cross. And the cry of faith is still, Jesus, if you will, you can make me clean. Or as the psalm says, why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Savior and my God. In the midst of every hardship and every need, faith cries out, or sometimes just whimpers, I know he died for me. In spite of everything I see, I know that he came and lived and died for me, and because of that, even if I don't see, I will believe. Why? When you have no earthly reason to believe. Only because God's word does that. The word of God creates faith that clings to the word of God. Then we have that example of the centurion who did exactly what Naaman in the Old Testament lesson didn't do. Naaman heard a word that he ought to go and wash and be cleansed. And Naaman said, what, he won't come? He won't come to see me and do it in person with a wave of his hand? The centurion didn't want anything to do with something like that. He came to Jesus, or actually, as Luke's gospel tells us, he sent some messengers to Jesus to represent him, some friends, to ask for healing, not even for himself, but for his servant who was so ill and so paralyzed. We see a man who loved his servant, who cared about him. We see a man who, again, had heard a word about Jesus, of his kindness and goodness to everyone, even to well-known sinners, even to Gentiles. He had heard the word that Jesus was powerful and taught and healed with authority. And the centurion knew something about authority and how that works. That simple word of Jesus, about Jesus, created faith in the centurion. And then faith did what faith does. It went looking for another word to cling to. It went looking to Jesus for a word to heal his servant. Just a word. Nothing else. Lord, I'm not worthy to have you come under my roof. But I've heard that you have authority, and I know authority. Just say the word, and my servant will be healed. The centurion's faith had nothing to do with what he could see or experience. It had everything to do with the simple and powerful and authoritative word of Jesus, the Son of God. You remember how Jesus reacted to that faith that the centurion showed. He was amazed by it. He marveled at it. He hadn't seen that kind of faith even in Israel. In Israel, Jesus would speak and the people would argue. In Israel, Jesus would promise and the people would ask for proof. In Israel, Jesus would do a sign, a miracle, and they'd ask for another. In Israel, Jesus would promise forgiveness of sins and life to give them that, and the people doubted that he could. But here in this most unexpected place, in a Roman soldier, the simple word about Jesus had created the kind of faith that not only admitted its own unworthiness before Jesus, but that clung to the simple word of Jesus without needing proof, without needing another thing, believing that if Jesus gave the command, it must be done, and nothing in heaven or on earth could stand in the way. What a tribute to the work of the Holy Spirit through the simple word about Jesus. And Jesus once again proved that faith in his word is well placed. He granted the request of the centurion. Let it be done for you as you have believed. What amazed Jesus about the faith of the centurion also amazes me about the faith of so many of you. You look around, and what you see is weakness in yourself, and sin, and physical hardships, and family hardships, and affliction of every kind. You see opposition to the Christian faith on all sides. You see Christians falling away from the church or growing disgruntled with it. You see Christians not behaving like Christians. You look, and what you see is a Christian nature in yourself that believes and wants to cling to Jesus and do what his word says. And then you look and see that it's always opposed by your sinful self, a sinful self that screams at you, "You're not good enough for God," or "God is not good enough for you." But the word of Jesus overcomes your doubts and your fears and weaknesses and struggles. The word of Jesus shows you a loving Father behind the cross. It shows you a Savior who made full atonement on the cross for all sin. And it speaks of the glory that is to be revealed in us who now appear so weak and so inglorious. You have no reason on earth to believe it, and yet you do. The Word of God has created faith in you, and then faith seeks a word from Jesus continually and clings to that word, just his word, nothing else, which is why you're Lutherans. You don't look for the foundation for your faith within yourself. You don't look for the foundation for your faith out there in nature or up in the stars or in the best scholarship and science of men. You don't turn to your feelings to see if God is really close to you today or not, depending on how you feel. You turn simply to what Jesus has said without waiting for him to come over to your house and prove it to you. Just his word. That's what faith always clings to. So again, the question is, when do you see this pattern broken or interrupted? The word of God has created faith in you and brought you to baptism and faith, but if you now turn away from the word of Jesus, if you have no desire to hear it, to grow in it, to live it, to pass it on to your children, if you have no desire to receive the body and blood of Jesus in his sacrament or to receive the gifts that he showers on you here through his word in the divine service, you will shipwreck your faith and you'll have no one to blame but yourself. What's the answer if you find your faith flailing like this? The answer is to acknowledge it and to repent of it. The answer is here, in the congregation where God's word is preached, here in the church, in the ministry of the word where Jesus has placed his word here on earth. It's right here in our worship, in our divine service, where Jesus speaks through this ministry of the word and says the word, "Listen to me, I forgive you. Listen to me, here are my gifts of grace and peace and comfort and life. Take, eat, drink. Here is my body given for you, my blood shed for you, for the forgiveness of sins." And where faith has been created by the word of God, there you find people clinging to that word and sacrament of Jesus. Where there is no faith, there you find people who have better things to do on Sunday morning and throughout the week. The Word of God creates faith that clings to the Word, and we see it in the leper and the centurion. Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. Lord, only say the word, and my servant will be healed. I don't need to stand here today and tell you to be like the leper or be like the centurion. I just want you to know the word of Jesus that reveals him to you, that reveals his faithfulness to you, and that draws you to him and to his family of believers, that word that makes you willing to submit to his will and confident to trust his word no matter what your eyes may see. And I fully trust that he will help you with every need that you have, and that his word will transform you too into the people that God intends you to be, people who are being renewed each day in the image of Christ Jesus our Lord. In his name, amen. And the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.